and how to avoid worry. Have you been trying it? And has it been working? Okay, well, all right. Well, how many have been using this stuff? I want you to use this stuff. It's very effective. It really works. I had to, like all of us, we're all human, and I had to remind myself on multiple occasions, remember, you got this with God's help. You can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go through all things with Christ who strengthens me. So here it is. This is now, how do you live worry-free? Yes, ma'am. Hold on just a minute. All of a sudden this thing come on. There you go. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, if you got your outlines, everybody got an outline. And I'm sorry, I told you I was going to get you those scriptures, and it slipped my mind. But I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to let it worry me. I'm just going to bring it out here for you and put it out at the next service. I'll try to remember tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to try to remember to make you a copy of those scriptures and stick it out for you out there. Amen. y'all remember that movie, The Lion, was it The Lion King? What was it where it said Akuma Katata? Akuna Matata, whatever that is. Yeah, no, it's Akuna Matata. DC, I watched DC one day playing first base on his high school team, and the coach went to him and said, Coach said, DC, you should lean into it more. Lay down and lean into it when you go to catch that ball. And he went, hey, Coach, Akuma Katata. And the coach said, I tell you what, you go Akuma Katata over there on that bench. So he was saying, no worries. He got worried for a while because he's on the bench. Amen. But no worries. If you can figure out a way with God's help, if you can figure out a way to get you lined up with God's word and keep using God's word, you'll find out that literally, you will find out that God has got everything in control, and there are certain things you're not going to be able to change no matter what you do. So if you just give it to God, let God guide you through it. Amen? Just let Him guide you through it. Let Him guide you to the dark places, and you'll be a whole lot more confident. You know, it's like when I was a little boy, as long as I had my daddy's hand or he had his arms around me or I was in his lap, I was fine. Didn't matter what was coming my way, as long as I had daddy with me. And I think about it all the time when I take my grandyoungest, and they'll take me home by the hand. And they walked with me. I had two of them yesterday holding by the hand. We walked through the parking lot. I said, you can't walk through the parking lot without Pawpaw. They were fine. They were walking with Pawpaw. You know, and we're so scared of nothing. It was awesome because Pawpaw was there. You know, God's with us. Amen? All right, here it is. I'm going to go quickly through what we went through last week. It's up at the top of this thing, and I'm going to go through, I'm not sure how many, I've been trying to decide on how many, I've been praying about it too, how many to put up here, but so far I've got six things how you can live worry-free. Remember, we started about how to diffuse worry. When you're worried, how do you get rid of it? This is how to live worry-free, and it's a lot easier to live worry-free than to diffuse worry, because worry tears on your body. Did you know that? It makes your blood pressure go up. It makes your pulse race. It even helps helps the elements harden your arteries. So if you think about all these things, it's a whole lot better to live worry-free than to let the stuff hit you and then try to back out. Amen? So here we go. Worry is not an inherited weakness. My mom was a worrier. My daddy was a worrier. No, don't go there. It's not a humorous habit. Well, I'm just a worry wart. No, and it's not a justifiable excuse for perfection. Somebody has to worry about doing it right. Worry is displeasing to God. That's bottom line. Worry is displeasing to God. There's no other way to say it. Worry is displeasing to God because of its underlying nature. There's a negative focus on the future. If you're worried, you're spending time speculating on what may or may not happen and then fearing the worst. What if? You know, today I heard them talking about now, but they were the speculators had gas going up so high. Now gas is going down. Saudi Arabia did something today. I'm not sure. I couldn't catch it at the time, but whatever they did made the stocks gone even further. And it said that gas prices are tumbling and that's bad for our economy. Really? They said because the gas price is tumbling, UPS just hired a whole bunch more drivers. And they named off all these companies that have hired people because gas went down. And so how is that so bad on our economy when the unemployment is going to go down because people are being hired because they're not having to pay this outrageous gas prices? It's even affecting the airlines. It's affecting everything that has to do with gas. And now what it is some of these big, and Russia is upset because Russia's main source of income is from gas. And if the gas gets low, then Russia, their income hurts. Well, I'm sorry. We'll send them a card. I'm not worried. That's right. I'm sorry. We're not going to worry because Putin's going to take that money and use it to overcome and to conquer. I feel bad for the people, but the people were already hurting. They're getting money. But you know what, though? But ISIS is making their money off of gas. Their gas is already low. That they were underselling everybody so they can make money. That's right. Let it keep on going low. I'll be fine. Let it go down low. I'll be all right. Amen. All right. So now, here we go. God's word reveals the following steps on how to live worry-free from the ditches of worry. So here was number one last week. Desire to be free of all that chokes out the will of God. Number two, recognize God's presence in your life. Number three, eliminate worry-producing demands. And I'm going to go back to that one later on tonight. But here we go. Number four, see your worry-producing situations as opportunities for character building. That's hard to do sometimes. You're going through something that's really eating you up, really tearing you up, about to drag you down. If you can ask God to help you quit looking at it as this is getting ready to kill me and look at it as this is building me, wow. You know, I was listening to DC talk today, and I remember hearing DC talk 2 or 3 years ago, and he was in a certain situation, and he said, "Dad, I don't even understand what I'm doing. I don't understand what I'm even here for other than just what's going on. It's frustrating." I said, "Son, God's using it. Just let him keep using it." And today, I talked to him a couple years later from this same situation. He said, "Dad, I see it now." He said, "Matter of fact, I'm glad I went through it." He said, "But I went through it several years." He said, "But it taught me something I couldn't have learned any other way." And he said, "It actually made me better." And I said, "Son, so I've been trying to tell you, some of these things you think are sent to kill you will make you better in the long run if you'll just trust God." So here it is. I told you I'd tell you about it a little later. Eliminate the worry-producing demands. Remember last week there was four worry-producing demands. There's a whole lot more, but I was trying to categorize them. And I'm going to talk about each one. First, I can't stand to be rejected. That was number one. I can't stand to be rejected. So I'm going to put it right here beside this. You can't stand to be rejected, then what do you do? Initiate new relationships, even at the risk of being hurt. Wait a minute. I just said I don't like being rejected, and you're telling me to reach out across the aisle and put my hand out. I told you I don't like being rejected, and now I'm going to risk it again? Sure. I didn't say if somebody slapped you right in the mouth, don't go back to them and say, "Slap me again." Reach out. I'm telling you, it's okay. You'll find out that most folks that you get around, you say, "I'm afraid to try to start a new relationship." That there's some people that came in to, when I sit sometimes at Starbucks, there's some people that have been coming in, and of course, I only there maybe once every week or once every 2 weeks, but some of these same people I've been seeing the whole time, they come in, I never spoke to them, and the Lord convicted me of it. He said, "You're messing out on something." And I said, "Lord, I'm busy. I'm working." And he said, "Talk to him." So a couple weeks ago, I saw this one guy, and I sat down beside him, and he's just looking at me and like he always did. And this time I reached my hand out. And I said, "I'm David Linton." And then, no, I just said, "I'm David Linton." And he said, "Kapasa." I said, "That's why I haven't talked to him." But then he started speaking English, so I felt better. All right. So I said, I've been seeing you here off and on for quite some time. I've never spoke to you. And here's what I told him. I feel ashamed of myself. So I'm David Linton. If you ever need me, you just call for David. So now I come in, I see him, I speak to him. So now I sit down beside him, and you know, so I can plug in my computer. And we don't carry on some great big conversation, but there was this one guy that I remember seeing in high school. He come in, and I've never spoke to him at all. And so I said, "Lord, if you want me to speak," he said, here it goes again, "speak to him." I said, "Well, Lord, if you want to speak to me, you need to bring him to me." He comes in and sits right beside me. And I said, "Lord, I'm actually working on a Bible study about worry." And I said, "This is worrying, worrisome." And Lord said, "Speak to him." And I said, "Okay." And so I said, "Okay." And when I went to go speak to him, he turned his back and looked the other way. And I said, "There I go. I ain't got to speak to him." And Lord said, "Speak to him." So I tapped him on the shoulder. And the guy turned and said, "Excuse me." And I said, "I'm David Linton." I said, "Please forgive me. I should have talked to you before now. And I just want to let you know, that I'm trying to broaden my horizons and I'm trying to meet more people." And so, you know, and I found out the guy was a year behind me in school, knew my brothers. I didn't know any of this stuff, except for I remember seeing him at Washington High School. And so we went into this great big long spiel. And next thing I know, he's talking all this spiritual stuff to me. We're having a good time. We actually talked for about 15 minutes. And it just blew me away because all this time I'd never talked to him. And I actually thought he was stuck up. He weren't stuck up at all. It was me. Amen. That's right. I'm sitting there complaining about something stinking and the Limburger cheese is in my mustache. Okay? And so this guy, over and over, we had a good time talking. And so here it is again. A lot of times we think people don't want to talk to us, they don't have anything to do with us. If you want to know the truth, sometimes they're just scared to talk to you. And people, believe it or not, now get ready. A lot of times people, if you look at people's faces when you look at them, many times what they're doing is reflecting what they see. Ooh. Oh, that was a psychological bam when I heard that one. And now I remember one of my kids saying, "They just don't, if they would just," and I said, "Calm down." I said, "They're reflecting what they see." "I cannot believe you said that." I said, "They're reflecting what they see, son. You go in there and you smile. And you pulled your shoulders back. And you get in there." He tried and come back and said, "It works." I said, "Yes, because they were reflecting off of you, bud." So watch. Initiate new relationships, even at the risk of being hurt. What could have been the worst thing? That guy that went que pasa, he could have kept on talking Spanish, and I just said, "Adios, amigo." Yeah, I did date a girl one time. She was not all there. She thought Taco Bell was a Mexican phone company. Okay. The second one. First, I can't stand to be rejected. The second demand, I should meet all their expectations. I should meet all the expectations thrown on me. Have you ever felt that way? I should meet everything that's thrown my way. You know what? Here's the thing. Have confidence in the Lord and that He is directing your life even if the circumstances don't work out the way you hoped. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37:23, it says the steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered by the Lord. So I don't have to always be perfect. How many here is always perfect? Raise your hand. There's no hands going up. Amen. No hands are going up. So it may be a time that we blow it. It's okay if you blow it, because usually if you blow it, you're learning something. Amen. You know, the third thing, I must not fail. All right, here's the answer to it. Expect the Lord to make positive changes in your life even when you fail. Amen. Expect God to work something in your life even if you've blown it, even if you fail. Because Psalm 37:23 says your steps are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 24 says, though he fall, he will not utterly be cast down. Meaning, although you fall, you're going to get back up. God's got a reason in the middle of all this. Even if it's through your hard-headedness and you've caused your own fall, God can still get glory out of it. God can still teach you something out of it. So then number four, I have to have excellent health. You know, I listen to some of these guys on television say, if you have faith, you're going to walk around in perfect health. Well, I watched one of those faith teachers do this. He said, if you've got faith, you'll walk around in perfect health. Let me read it for you. No. Look. He said, if you walk around in faith, you'll have perfect health while he's putting on his reading glasses. If you got perfect health, why do you need reading glasses? You know, and so every time I see one of those guys talking about faith, God's going to heal everything, you're going to be perfect health, and I see them put their glasses on, I want to go, son, go look in the mirror and see what you see. That doesn't count for perfect health, them glasses. All right, here's the truth. Let your life be an example of growing older gracefully. We have a lot to teach people. You know, my boys back in the day they didn't think I knew anything. And then eventually they began, at first they thought I knew everything. Then they got to the point where they didn't think I knew anything. And then they're starting to get back over. Daddy, you might know what you're talking about. And I found out that a lot of people, I like to go to the older people and talk to them because I can learn something. Every time I talk to them, I learn something. Whether they know they're teaching me or not, I'm learning something. And if nothing else, endurance. You know, there's things you can learn from people. So learn. But my perfect health. My knee. Okay. All right. Be confident of this. He that has begun a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I love this. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. So next time you're going through something, here's what you need to say. Don't be saying, God, what you're trying to do. Watch this. Try this instead. Instead of saying, God, what are you trying to do to me? Say, thank you, God, for developing me. Amen. Life is like photography. It develops better in the dark. Amen? I mean, you can't develop film in the light. You got to develop it in the dark. And God will put you in the dark places to develop you. Thank you, God, that you're developing me. Just today, I walked around and I went like this and I said, Lord, did you? And I said, never mind. Thank you, Lord, for developing me. And you know what? I felt a whole lot better when I said that. Instead of, Lord, what's going on here? All right, so that's number one. See your worry-producing situations as opportunities for God to build character. Number five, cultivate contentment with prayer. Here's a hard one. Lord, I want to be accepted, but if I'm not, I won't be robbed of my joy because you accept me unconditionally. What is grace? Unconditional love. When I went to be saved, God didn't say, if you'll clean your act up, I'll save you. You know, DC or Daniel, I can see him out there now. Daniel on the roof that time, falling off the roof, or DC fell up under his bike or something to holler, Dad, I need your help. Did I go up and say, well, let me see, did you clean your room first? I'm bleeding, Dad. It don't matter. Did you clean your room? Did you take out the trash? Did you talk to your mom like you're supposed to today? No, I reached right down and helped you. grace, unconditionally. God accepts us unconditionally. Now, let's don't get all confused and think that you can do anything you want to, and it's all fine. That's not what I'm saying. He accepts you unconditionally, but there are conditions on your relationship, how you're going to live this life and how you're going to make it to the others. So ready? Watch this now. Lord, rather than worry about my welfare, I will trust him to your sovereign care. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One little girl said it one day. She said, Lord is my shepherd. He is all I want. Yep. A shepherd provides food, shelter, the basic necessities. A shepherd protects against enemy attacks. A shepherd guides, leads when you don't know the path. A shepherd gathers when we head in the wrong direction. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God's awesome. Number three, or four. Three, instead of being anxious about my job, I choose to trust you with my future. Remember, God's got a path for you. It's not always an easy path. The path to discipleship is paved with pain. But you're going to learn from it. Number four, Lord, I want good health, but if not, I'm willing to learn contentment and refuse to worry. I'm not going to worry about it. Amen? I was in the gym last night. Dr. Young said, I told you my knee, I messed up my knee, and then it grew this big old pus pocket, and he took it and cut it off. He just said, lean on back, and he cut it. I said, where's the pain medicine? He said, it hurt worse with pain medicine. I said, how? He cut that thing off and then scraped it and threw a bandage on it. Ugh. He said, I'll check you in the gym, make sure you're all right. And so I'm in the gym. He comes, looks at it last night, and it finally stopped hurting. He takes it and grabs it and squeezes it. He goes, you're fine. I said, yeah, thanks. But you know what? Instead of me thinking, I got to have perfect health, if I don't have perfect health, I can't minister for God. Then Paul, out of all people, told you last week, the sickest person in the Bible was Paul. And God used him. The most mighty, the most used person in the Bible was the sickest. Now Moses, he was 120 years old, and he was awesome. Everything he had was perfect. But you know what? I think I'm following after Paul more than I am Moses. All right, Moses was had it all together, and Paul was falling apart. Amen. And I say it more and more all the time. The older I get, the better I was. All right. Number six, in your heart, implant God's promises. Put his promises. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. God will take care of your tomorrow. Trust him today. Don't open your umbrella till it starts raining. I see a lot of people spiritually opening up their umbrella and there ain't a cloud in the sky. And God's saying, don't open your umbrella till it starts raining. You're worrying about everything. Give it to God. Watch this. Contentment. I'm not saying it's because I'm in need, but I've learned to be content whatever about the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Hope. I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. He's talking to people that are in bondage and people that are being enslaved, and he is talking to them. Strength. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your Lord, your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in confidence, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound self-discipline. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises that so through them, you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. You know, early on, when I first started learning this, I've talked about him a few times. My uncle stayed so mad at me. And we'd been good friends up until I got saved. He stayed so mad at me. And I finally, one day, He just looked at me and said, "You don't worry about a thing, do you?" And I thought I'd been doing a very bad job of it. I thought he saw me getting upset about things. He said, "You don't worry about a thing. Since you've been saved, you don't worry about a thing, do you?" I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "No, you don't." I said, "I'm concerned about stuff." He said, "Nah." And I said, and I found out what it was that's why he was so angry, because he wanted what he was seeing. I thought I was doing a haphazard halfway job, but to him, you know, so just put this stuff in your mind, and I'll try to take these scriptures and put with the other scriptures. Just don't get worried if I don't have it up here right away. I'll put these scriptures and the other scriptures together, and so these will be your worry busters, and put them in your Bible. Worry busters, and put them right in your Bible. I'll try to put them on top of the thing. Worry buster scriptures. Amen? So now, let's go ahead and pray, and you can get on home and start watching the results if you want. I can't wait to get them, watch the results. I'm believing God's going to do something great, very great. But Fox did also predict or project that the main Republicans are back in office, which is that's cool. So that's good. Now we can get the other ones. All right, however God wants it. God, you take care of it. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. I know, God, that you're working in our midst, Father. I know, God, there's so many things coming against us to make us worry. But, Father, I know, God, we don't have to worry. We've got you with us. We got you by our side. We do not have to worry. I ask you right now, Father, to touch us, Lord, to help us see and know and understand we do not have to worry as long as you are by our side. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to help us stand strong. And Lord, when we begin to feel worry, help us to pull these scriptures and look at them and bust worry right square in the head. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, Linda did say she just went to the polling booth and Daniel was there. And they saw Linton and Linton. So they asked, Linda would ask, Linda or Daniel or Linda one asked one of them, was Linda his wife? And so Linda wrote back and said, "You must have had a bad day at work, and they thought you were and they thought you were my wife." And he wrote back, they just said granddaddy's with you. Yeah, a daughter and a son. A daughter and a son-in-law and a son. I mean, a little thing, yeah. All right. Sunday morning is part two of What You Call Me. Last week was on Benoni. This week is on Gideon. And I've been studying it and studying it and studying it. And you know what I found out about Gideon? I'm going to give you a little prelude. Y'all will be a little bit ahead of everybody else. His name tag, Gideon's name tag, was victim. Wow. Victim. Have you ever felt like a victim? Have you ever felt victim mentality? He is, you can take the five or six verses that talk about him when the angel finds him. And you can, it's a storybook, victim mentality. And so Sunday morning, especially if you know somebody that you think has been living a victim mentality, or they're having a hard time getting out of it or getting back on top, and even if it's you and you don't want to tell anybody, that's fine. But listen, Sunday morning, how God got him out of the victim mentality. Wow. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, and I said there's going to be two of them, but now I think there's going to be three. Because the only way to do Gideon is to go ahead and do his battle last, his big battle. So I'm probably going to do the big battle the following week, but at least, what'd you say I am? Who'd you call me? What'd you say I was? It's part two this week. Father, I love you and I thank you, God, for this night. I thank you, God, for your presence, Lord. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, that we never walk alone. I ask you, Father, to touch each and every person, take them to their home, keep them safe. In the name of Jesus, bring them back and help them bring some people with them. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen. All rise.